Turn your eyes upon Jesus. In his wonder,
may be seated. Amen.
I want you to know what an honor and privilege that it is to be here again and for the fourth straight year. Amen. And that means an awful lot to me to have the honor of addressing this portion of the bride four straight years. Amen. Now, I want to get something out of the way here before we start so we don't have to say it again the next 2 days. Right now, I'm engaged in the good fight of faith. Amen. Having been pounced upon by the enemy, and some symptoms remain, which make it difficult for me to speak. And so, I don't know what all of you do for a living, but if all of a sudden your ability to do that was hindered, you'd be quite concerned about it. And so when a preacher can't talk, you know, I mean, that's a catastrophe. Amen. And my mouth has always been my problem anyway. From the time I was a little boy, one of the first recollections I have is having my mouth taped shut. Amen. And we didn't have duct tape back then. It was surgical tape of some kind. And so it's always been a problem. So I will try to say as many words as I can over the next 2 days without touching my face, but it becomes necessary for me to hold part of the face that's still suffering paralysis, amen, in order for me to get the words out. So if you can do your best to look past that and concentrate on what we're going to say here today, then it'll be a great blessing to you. Amen. Now, I want to warm up by saying this, that I'm glad Brother Jeff said what he did about finances, because I'll tell you, once I walked in here and heard that music and that singing and sensed the response in your spirit, amen, it was like putting a racehorse in the gates, you know, and everything. And I tell you, I thought, finances, who can preach on finances in an atmosphere like this? Amen. We got to preach faith today or something like that. Praise God. But I'm glad he said what he did, because we know this is necessary also. Praise God. We do greet you from our home church and from our little city of Monmouth, Oregon. We have one of our families here with us again this year, traveling out for the camp. We would have liked to have had more, but kind of hard to get almost all the way across the United States. But good to have them here today and sense their support. And I thank you for all your kind comments and those of you that shook my hand in the lobby and everything. And I'm just really pleased to have a part of this great meeting. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? And if you have your Bibles, which I'm sure you do, open them to the prophet Haggai. Haggai chapter 1. I want to read verse 2 through verse 7. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, and here's the title of my message today, consider your ways. Consider your ways. Now, some of you are going to relate with this next scripture, or I've missed God a million miles in choosing this text. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the honor and privilege that it is to stand here this morning. I can hardly hold back the tears of thanksgiving for your touch in my life. It has brought me from drunken alcoholism to a member of the bride of Jesus Christ. I thank you for your blood. I thank you for your anointing and your spirit. More than two or three of us are gathered here today, Father, in your name. Therefore, you are right here in the midst of us. Yes. And if you are here, then the anointing is here because you are the anointed one. Yes. Let that anointing destroy yokes today. Yes. Grant it, Father. Let that anointing bring revelation to hearts today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Last night in prayer, I was overcome with a special burden. And that burden being for younger families that would be in this service today, and for older teenagers that would be here today. The message that we're about to preach and teach is for all of us, but I have a special burden today for that special group, the younger families, the older teenagers, those that are just starting out, and just praying that God will do something in their life that will help them to avoid all of the pitfalls and situations that so many of us had to go through. Amen. I almost forgot a cardinal rule. Never preach with a jacket on. Amen. I'm going to say some things today that may upset some of you because you're so used to never hearing anything taught in financial areas. We are scared to death of it. You with your message on computer, run a search on the word prosperity. You'll have a multitude of hits. Read just the first 100, and you'll find that almost every one of them is crying out against the deception of prosperity. Now, why would that be? It would be because the Laodicean age is going to go out with a group of people that will stand before God on that day and say, we're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. And he'll say, well, I know that, but you missed the most important thing, and that's the salve for your eyes. Amen. And so Brother Branham's ministry, being the voice of that seventh angel, Son of Man revealed, etc., etc., naturally, he is going to be screaming out and crying out against the deception and the deceitfulness of riches. Amen. But that does not negate the word of God. Amen. Now, what the church has done here in America, I can't speak for the brethren from overseas. But in America, what we did here in America for the first 50 years or so, we had a message of poverty. We had a message of lack, a message of need. For the first 50 years here in America in the church, it was taught that the poorer you were, the more righteous you were. Amen. And you know, brothers and sisters, where that'll take you, it'll take you off into the ditch over here on the right-hand side of the road. Then in the 1950s, men begin to see God's law of prosperity in the scriptures. And they begin to teach on that law, and people begin to tap into that law. And what happened? Amen. We got a whole bunch of people out there getting richer and richer and richer and consuming it on their own lust, not realizing that if the blessing of Abraham comes on you, amen, according to the scripture, it is for you to turn around and bless someone else with, amen. And so we went clear overboard on this other side, and you know what happened? We drove the vehicle in the ditch on the left-hand side, amen. Well, what is truth? It is the scripture in balance, amen. And so we're going to look at it today in that light. And as we speak these things, I want you to understand that that's the light that I'm speaking it in. Somebody asked me a couple days ago, do you ever get any flack for talking about these things and everything? I said, yes, sir, I do. Amen. But I said, that doesn't make any difference because it's the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Haggai. Scripture that we read. And I'll try to get us out of here on time. Amen. To sow much and to bring in little, as we have read in this scripture, is a violation of scriptural and spiritual law. You hear me? To sow much and bring in little is a violation of spiritual law. Amen. Any farmers here? Okay. You farmers know that if you sow 100 acres in wheat and you reap 100 bushels, and I didn't say 100 bushels per acre, I said 100 bushels, you know that something is wrong. Amen. Amen. Now, maybe you had a drought, maybe you had some kind of catastrophe and everything, so you can look and you can see what happened. But if you didn't, if you had all the moisture you needed and everything, and yet you only reaped 100 bushels off of 100 acres, then it's time for you to consider what you did wrong. And that's what God is telling this group of people. It's time for them to consider their ways, because sowing much and reaping little is not God's law of harvest. It is not God's law of prosperity. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Some of you aren't getting any return on your investment and your seed because you're just not planting much. Amen. And you see, that's different in the case of every individual. It was different with the widow than it was for all those rich people that were putting into the treasury. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Now there's God's law. If you're sowing much, you're supposed to be reaping much. If you're sowing bountifully, you're supposed to reap bountifully. And you know something? I don't get any further in than this scripture when I start feeling that feedback. Because so many of us have been taught to totally ignore the financial end of things. And as long as we are blessed in our salvation and these things, just forget about the rest of it. Well, God didn't forget about it. He talks about it over and over and over and over again in the scripture. Amen. Now, Proverbs 11:24. There is that scattereth and yet increases. Isn't that amazing? There are those that just keep giving it away and giving it away and giving it away, and it just keeps coming back and coming back, and they can't even find enough barns to fill up. Amen. Hallelujah. There is he that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is he that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. God's not going to bless you for you to hoard it up. God's not going to bless you for you to consume it on your own lust. I think one of the greatest liberties and freedoms that I have right now is to go to the mailbox and receive a liberal offering from somewhere. Amen. And no matter how much it is, whether it's a few hundred dollars or whether it's a few thousand dollars, to be able to put that check in my pocket, head to the bank with it, amen, to put it in the barn, to put it in the storehouse, amen, and not even give a second thought to whether there's something I want to go and buy. Amen. Amen. The first year I preached, I took in $800 the whole year. And after my ministry was totally established and everything, I averaged $5,000 a year. Amen. Took me a whole year for $5,000. I'll tell you, it's a tremendous blessing to walk up to your post office box and open up the thing, and there's a check for thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. More than it used to take you several years to earn. Amen. And not have one thought about going off and buying a car or going off and buying this or buying that and everything. Amen. Just sit there and rejoice with you and your wife and thank God for it and say, well, somebody's going to need this somewhere down the line. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Still preaching in the same jacket. My jackets last a long time because I don't leave them on very long. Amen. Hallelujah. You have a tendency to hold back more than is necessary. It tends to poverty. Amen. Now, this is spiritual law. These two scriptures. Amen. And to sow much and reap little violates this law. Now, there's another translation to Proverbs 11:24 that says, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Real good. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Luke 6:38. I used to preach on Luke 6:38 all the time when I was in Pentecost. I don't think I've preached on Luke 6:38 in the 30 years I've been in this message. Amen. Until just recently. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. Another translation of that, it shall be given back with bonus and blessing. I used to do it this way in my tent days. Used to have those sawdust shavings on the floor. And I'd get one of those offering buckets and I'd have one of the ushers fill it up with sawdust shavings. See? And then I'd pour that pile out on the platform there. Now I'm kind of giving away what some of the old tent days were like. Amen. I had a man tell me once that I was the only guy he ever knew that could make an entire production out of an offering. Amen. And when I came to the message, God said, don't do that anymore. Don't do that anymore. Watch my prophet. Amen. Watch my word. Don't do that anymore. Amen. But I used to take that and I'd pour that shaving out. Then I'd have that same guy take it back out and I'd have him fill it up again, but this time shake it. And this time press it down. Amen. And then we would come and we'd pour that same pile out. Now that's the same measure that he brought the first thing in, but there'd be three, four, five times as many shavings in that. And that's what God is saying. When you give, it'll be given back to you. Same measure you give out with, amen, but it will be back to you with bonus and with blessing, amen. Now, I want you to understand something here that maybe some of you haven't caught yet. But your total income does not depend on your wages. And your wages do not determine your total income. Your total income is based on your giving, not on your earning power. Your earning power, your wages are there for specific needs and it is there for seed. You see, God is the one that gives the increase, but he also gives the seed. Amen. And so you use portions of your income as seed and that determines your total income. Now, as an example of that, when we built our new home 2 years ago, we had just exactly a certain amount of money to do that because I will not go over what God has provided for a certain thing. I will not. If I've got so much money to buy a house, you can't talk me into one thing extra if it has to go on a contract. And we told the builder what we wanted in this house and everything. And you know what? God allowed me and Rachel to find favor with that builder. And when he found out we were paying cash, he said, well, how would you like then just to pay the bills every 15 days on this instead of me getting a bank loan, and I'll knock several thousand dollars off the price of the house? I said, praise God, I'll do it. Amen. Then 25 years ago, when we'd built our last house, I'd promised my wife brick across the front of it under the windows and everything. And 25 years, I still hadn't fulfilled that promise. You know how men are. We had a cabinet door that was broke, and she wanted me to fix it. And I said, no, I don't want to do that because I want to replace all the cabinets. Amen. She said, I don't want all the cabinets replaced. I just want that one door. You know, and so she kept not getting her brick. And she said, I suppose you're going to wait till you can brick the whole house. You know, amen. And so this time I said, I want her to have her brick. And the builder said, I'll tell you what. He said, it's going to cost $1,100. He said, you want brick across the front and everything? That's going to cost X number. But it'll really look better if we put brick over here next to the garage doors too and everything. He says, that's $1,100 extra. But he said, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give that to you. Then I wanted a 12 by 12 building built out back and everything. And he said, oh, you've been such a good customer and all this and everything. He said, you know what the bills are for the materials that are coming at that. He said, that's all I'm going to charge. He said, there'll be no charge for any of the labor, anything. We're going to build that for you free. Amen. And so you see, at the end of building that house, I had several thousand dollars that I hadn't paid. God had let me find favor with that man. Now, some of you sitting there and you listen to messages like this and you say, yeah, it works for preachers. You see, but this works for anybody. It works for everybody. And God can let you find favor with the mechanic and with the home builder and all of these things. Amen. It's not just going to the mailbox and picking up offerings, because I know that you don't do that. Amen. But there's other ways that God can bless you. Amen. Now, some Christians who are interested in making it, they're interested in having more than just enough to keep body, soul, and spirit intact. They say, I'm tithing, I'm giving, I'm doing what I know to do, but I never seem to reap the harvest. I never seem to tap into that scriptural blessing that people talk about and that I see others in the church experiencing. I never seem to prosper or be blessed in the financial area of my life. And they sit there and say, what is wrong? And so we're going to touch several things today that possibly could be wrong, because there are scriptural principles. We're going to look at two of them. Three of them a little later, and one of them is Malachi 3:10 and Proverbs 3:9-10, which talks about our tithe and our substance. But sometimes when people get discouraged, they begin to question God's ways. They begin to question the system, the bringing of the tithe to the storehouse, the giving of offerings, the care for the poor and the needy. They begin to question God's ways. But the prophet Haggai said, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, if financial laws or any other scriptural law is not working in your life, or it's not working in my life, it's not God's fault. Consider your ways. Would we all agree with that? Amen. Hallelujah. Because God's ways work. Most of you have been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost long enough to know that God's ways work. Amen. And God's principles work, and God's word works. The problem is never with God. The problem is always with you and I. Amen. Hallelujah. So we shouldn't even question God's ways. We should never question God's principles, his precepts. We should never question the word of God at any time, under any circumstance, no matter how much the pressure is on us to do so. If something's not working for you, and if something's not working for me, bless God, consider your ways. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, in our text, God immediately reveals to this group what's wrong with their ways. He immediately tells them what is stopping their harvest. Now, I want to tell you this right up front. I just put together a series a few months ago that I've only preached in two places. But it's very, very hard-hitting and very profound. And it's simply that the power of life and death is in your tongue. Amen. Amen. And once I got a hold of that, it changed my walk with God. It changed my marriage. Amen. It changed a lot of things around me. Praise the Lord. And I found out how simple it was to walk in deliverance and to walk in the victory that Christ already accomplished just by learning to control this very unruly member. Amen. So when it comes to the tongue, when it comes to a lot of things, amen, we just absolutely do a lot of things, amen, to stop our own harvest.
That's right, yeah. Amen.
We limit the Holy One of Israel.
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. And I believe that God is shaking the bride up a little bit. And I get letters and emails in and everything, and people say, guess what our preacher is preaching? Amen. He's preaching that same thing. Guess what this one's preaching over here? He's preaching that same thing. Amen. I can see God doing a work in the bride of Christ, trying to bring her back, amen, into a full restoration that goes beyond doctrine. I don't want to get sidetracked here, but we talk a lot about the Palmer worm and the caterpillar, all this and that, and we talk all about the blade in the ear, and we put it all into the doctrinal area. Amen. I'll tell you, I want a little of that restoration in my own life. Hallelujah. Praise God. I want to walk in the fullness of what God came to do for me and for you. Don't you? Amen. So we do things to stop our own harvest. We do things to stop the blessing. Many of the blessings that God promises in the Word of God, you and I, we do things to stop the harvest of that in a lot of different areas of our life. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's financial, whether it's healing, or whatever it is. We are the ones that do the things that stops the harvest. Amen. So God had told them, I want my house built. Amen. I want you to build me a house. And what did they do? They said, it's not time. Is there ever really a right time for you and I? When the church needs a new sanctuary or a new office complex, is it ever the right time? You hear me? Amen. When the mission field needs an extra bit of support, when it's time on the foreign field to be able to move a group into a better situation with a building of their own and more exposure to this message. When it's time, amen, when the time is right to get the translation work done and get the messages out in the tongue of that native person in that country and everything, is it ever the right time for us? And these people were saying, no, it's not time. Give us time to build our own house. Amen. Give us time to take care of our own things. Give us time to get a few antiques and stuff in our tent. Amen. You see, we'll take care of you later, Lord. Amen. And so, God says, consider your ways. I ask you to build me a house, you turned around and built your own. Therefore, he said, even some of you that earn wages. He said, you can't even get home with them. Amen. Because you put them in bags with holes in them. Any of you ever felt that way? Anybody here ever run out of money before you run out of month? Amen. Yeah, see, we've all been there, haven't we? Amen. And God says, this is the reason. So they were sowing and they were giving, but they were still not doing the primary thing. And the first way I want you to consider today is they were not putting God first.
Amen.
Amen. Not putting God first. Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, what did that just say to you? I don't know what it said to you, but I know what it said to me. It said, if I put God first, things will come to me. You greedy? No, I'm not greedy. No. I consider myself very unselfish. I don't know how other people see me, but I consider myself unselfish. I've always been one wanting to share and everything. I have a real hard time with my grandson whenever I'm out with him and everything. He doesn't want me to buy him anything. And I have a hard time telling him, now what's mine is yours. Amen. And God has given me a few dollars that I can, hey, we don't have to worry. If it's hot out, let's get a drink. Praise God. You know what I mean? That type of thing. But it's very hard for him to take from me and everything. But I love to share. Now, I will say this, that maybe I'm not an absolute pure giver in the body, because I do like to give on my own terms. Now, I don't mean with strings attached or anything like that, but I like to get my orders from headquarters. You see what I mean? I don't like to just deliberately be approached in these areas and everything. I kind of like to feel the moving of the Spirit of God and everything in that. But I'm willing to give it all away. Amen. Because everything I have belongs to God. I don't own one stitch of it. Amen. I was going to do a lesson here on stewardship, but the Holy Spirit led me off in this other direction. Amen. Anyway, put God first. You put God first, things come to you. Amen. Those things you have need of, God will see that you get them. Amen. Now, don't think that you're going to put God first and then you're going to stay home next week and not go to work and things are going to come to you. Amen. I'll tell you what things are going to come to you. Amen. The guy taking your house back. Amen. You see? God feeds all these birds out here, but I don't see one of them just sitting around on the nest. Amen. Sends them out each day, leads them and guides them. Sometimes I've got 200 birds in my yard. Rachel said the other day, she said, I get so tired of all them birds. And I said, well, you got to understand something, that we just may be the supply point for the birds in this neighborhood. Amen. I said, God may just be sending them in here, because he knows that we don't mind spending a little extra money watering to keep our yard green and everything, and the worms come up every day, and I don't mind that at all. Praise God. It's God's water bill. Amen. Praise God. It's his birds and everything, but that's the first principle, the first thing to consider. Amen. God will not accept a divided heart. Amen. So consider your ways. Is your heart divided? He won't even consider it. A divided heart. Amen. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. Amen. His kingdom has to come first. The spiritual condition of your soul and the mighty things of the Spirit of God and the revelation of the end time truth, the salve that God has given us in this day and this hour. Hallelujah. That's the important thing. But as you consider those things, then God will put these other things into your life. Amen. Amen. When Rachel and I were first married, we didn't even have money for a place to live. She went home, I went home. We lived that way for 3 weeks. One night she was over at my folks' house, and she'd eaten supper there with us, and we were doing the dishes, and my mom was sitting there at the table, and she said, "You know, your kids seem to be getting along real good. Maybe someday you might consider being married." And I turned around and I said, "Mom, we've been married for almost a month." I'll tell you, she just about died. Amen. We didn't have any place to live. We didn't have any money. We never had a honeymoon. We didn't have a vacation until our children were junior high age. And yet, brothers and sisters, I'll tell you something. We tithed consistently. And we gave consistently. And although we didn't have any extra, for several years, any time a dollar could be siphoned off and put into savings and everything, we did. And do you know that after several years, we had $1,000 in the bank for a vacation? Now, this was in the 1960s when $1,000 would have been quite a vacation. Amen. And one night, it was right before we came into the message, and we were up in Portland, Oregon, and we were attending a Morris Cirillo crusade. And Brother Cirillo is still on the field today, and we were an integral part of support of his ministry and liked what he was doing on the foreign fields. And we were in this meeting, and he was receiving a missionary offering strictly for overseas missions. And I nudged Rachel, and I said, "Honey, I think God's dealing with me about giving that $1,000 away." And she said, "Well, hey, look, you're the head of the house. Isn't it amazing how we become the head of the house in all those kind of situations?" Amen. Sometimes up until then, we don't know whether we're the head of the house or we're not the head of the house. Amen. But all of a sudden, I was the head of the house. And it was my decision to make. And I said, "No, I can't do that." I said, "It's your vacation too, and the kids is and everything." And she said, "No, it's up to you if God's dealing with you." And we went back and forth that way for quite a while. And finally, I said to her, I said, but Rachel, no matter how hard I feel the tug, that's our vacation money." And right then, Brother Cirillo looked up straight at me. I was in the back of the church in the balcony, about 1,000, 1,200 people there, whatever. And he looked at me and he pointed right straight at me. And he said, "That's right, brother. It is your vacation money." But he said, "God's telling you to give it to those people overseas." Amen. Now, that's what I'm talking about. It took years to save that. Amen. Hallelujah. Isn't it funny that God seems to always know exactly how much we've got? Yes. Amen. Even that we kind of hide away, you know, she money, you know. You don't want your wife to find it, you know, and all of that. My wife's gotten wise to me. She never accepts from me anymore the term broke or anything like that. She just says, "Hey, I know you've got it around here somewhere." Amen. It's like my cousin when they brought his sister home from the hospital. His mother's mother, his grandma, lived with them, and she had false teeth. And every night, she would take these false teeth out of her mouth, put them in a glass, set them on the nightstand by her bed. So Wayne was used to seeing those teeth in the glass. And he was standing there one day, and my aunt was bathing the newborn baby and everything, and he kept looking into her mouth. And my Aunt Nola said, "Honey, what's the matter?" He said, "Where's her teeth?" And she said, "Well, she doesn't have any." He said, "Mama, you can't fool me. They're around here in a glass someplace." Amen. Amen. And so Rachel's that same way with the money. You can't fool her. It's around here somewhere. Amen. Praise God. But we were willing to give it all. Every bit of it. Every last penny. And you know something? Never had one moment of remorse or one second thought, because the Holy Spirit had asked for it. Hallelujah. Amen. So that's the first principle. Consider your ways. Is God first in all of it? Hallelujah. Praise God. How many can say amen to that?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right. On to page 306. Amen. So you'll tell where we're at. I don't have five closes. I only got about two. So when I say we're closing, I usually just got one more close. Some ministers have five or six closes. Amen. But I'll try to keep us with two. Amen. God's word, God's principles, God's ways work. And I want to tell you something. Faith moves mountains, no matter what kind of mountain it is. Whether it's a physical mountain, a spiritual mountain, a financial mountain, amen, faith will move that mountain. And if our mountains are not moving or our mountains are not growing smaller, amen, if they're not budging at all, then brothers and sisters, there is nothing wrong with the word of God, the principles of God, the precepts of God, amen. It is time for you and I to consider our ways, hallelujah. All right, another way to consider. I want you to consider Job, and I'm going to shake up some of your thinking on Job today, I'm sure. And so I'm going to rally behind a quote of Brother Branham's in Perfect Faith, August 1963. In the book of Job, it says here, Job feared. And what he feared, it actually happened. What brought it? His fear. What called for it? His fear. Amen. That's what made it happen. Now, listen to this one. His faith would have kept it from him, but his fear brought it to him. He was scared that it was going to happen, and it did happen. Now, I know all about the conversation between God and the devil. Amen. And I know that God had a hedge built around him, right? Well, just think of it this way then. How is Satan going to get through that hedge? He's got to find a weak link somewhere. Amen. Amen. Satan had to have a way in. The fact still remains, amen, that there had to be an avenue for Satan to use to get to Job, and he used Job's fear. Can you stay with me there? All right. Hallelujah. Job 3:25. For the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come upon me. Now you say, how do you know that Job said anything about it? Because fear talks just like faith talks. Fear speaks just like faith speaks. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to show you that Job had a mouth problem. Amen. He's a good brother. Thank God for him. I thank God for the example. Some people live their whole life in turmoil and defeat and everything and identify with Job when Job only went through this for somewhere between 9 months and a year. Amen. And then God turned around and he didn't restore those same children back and everything, but he turned around and gave him exactly double what he had in the beginning when he went into this. Amen. But Job had a mouth problem. Job 7:11. Therefore, I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit, and I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Job had a mouth problem. Now I'm going to say this to you in considering your ways. Most of the time, you are your own worst enemy. Amen. And if that's too harsh on us, then we're hothouse plants. Amen. Most of the time, you are your own worst enemy. Amen. Some people come to church and they plant their financial seed. They bring their tithes into the storehouse. They give their offerings and everything, but they refuse to refrain their mouth. Amen. And then they wonder why their harvest is so small. I made $60,000 last year. Look at that. I gave $6,000 to God in the tithe, and I gave some more to missions and everything. And why am I still in debt, and why am I still having all these problems and everything? Because maybe you've got a mouth problem. I'll give you an example of that. Come to church, pay your tithes, give your offerings and everything, then walk right out of the church, amen, and say, that stuff doesn't work for me. Amen. That stuff works for those preachers, but it don't work for me. Amen. I'm not blessed like so-and-so. I'm not blessed like brother so-and-so. In fact, I get a little upset and a little angry every time I see him with a new car or see him with something like this and everything. Amen. You're your own worst enemy. Amen. Now, I preached a message last Sunday in the local church here on due season, and that there is a time and a place. There's a time for everything under heaven, every purpose. Amen. And if God has given you a vision, that vision will tarry, but in the end it will surely come to pass, and that vision will speak. Amen. From the time that I first got saved, I never had a day's problem with tithing and giving to God. And you know my testimony. You've heard it here at camp, those of you that have been with us over these 4 years. And you know how stupid I was and what a foolish person I was and how dumb I was and everything, which led my wife to say, if you ever die, amen, and I'm ever confronted with the opportunity of marriage the second time around, first place I'm going is to the credit bureau for a credit report. Amen. And you laugh about that, but some of you would have been better off if you'd have done that too, you know. Amen. But I just didn't have any sense. I didn't have any training, didn't have any experience in the things of money. But once I came to Christ, I realized that surely the tenth belonged to him. And so my wife and I, we tithed and we gave offerings for many, many years. We did our best to speak the word and to claim the promises of God for our finances. But we still experienced hard times, and we still experienced years and years and years of need and financial difficulties and everything. I know now why. One of the reasons is, although I was planting my seed, I was also planting weeds over my seed. Amen. Right. Amen. So there was a lot of weeds on my seed. Amen. And also realized that part of the reason is that God had me in school. Yes, sir. That's right. I never once dreamt this would be a part of my ministry. Right. Standing up and talking to people about finances and everything, because it was such a struggle for us. Part of that struggle now turns into a blessing for the bride. Amen. Yeah. Amen. When they hear those testimonies and those things and see that God still keeps his word and still honors his word and does those things that he tells us. So part of it was that God had us in school. Amen. And those things. And part of it was because we go through cycles. Now, some people don't believe that. But I can show you that in the apostles' lives and in the scripture where they went through cycles. Paul didn't always have to fast because there wasn't enough food. There was times when he had more than enough food. Amen. He didn't always have to suffer need and lack. He had times when he was abundantly blessed above measure. Hallelujah. You see? So part of it was that we were going through those cycles. Hallelujah. Amen. But still, we had years and years and years of just barely making it. Now, we never begged bread. We never had to beg bread. Amen. God had to do it in the most supernatural means at times, but we never had to beg bread. Hallelujah. Praise God. And we just kept grinding it out. We just kept living from day to day. If everybody else could go in and buy $50 worth of groceries and we could only buy $3 worth of groceries, we bought our $3 worth and just put it in the hands of the Lord and ask Him to multiply it. You'd be surprised how far God can stretch Hamburger Helper. Amen. And have you ever read those little books on how to take some old stale bread and moisten it up and do certain things with it and mix it with a quarter pound of ground beef and end up thinking you got a whole pound of meat? I mean, there's just a lot of things you can do. And when I was in revival meetings and everything, I lived on Weiler's and Mrs. Grass's 10-cent chicken soup. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something, to be honest about it. I think what they do is they put those vats, those kettles on, and they put the noodles in and all that stuff. And they've got some chicken running around in the kitchen. Amen. And that's as close as any chicken ever got to that soup. Amen. Or if a chicken did get into the soup, one chicken would make about 5,000 packages of Mrs. Grass soup. Amen. I didn't care that I didn't have steak. I didn't care that I couldn't go down and get a hamburger. Just give me my 10-cent soup ration for the day because I'm living on something, amen, from another dimension. Hallelujah. My meat and drink was to do the will of God. My meat and drink was when people came under that tent and got saved and got healed and got filled with the Holy Ghost and the power of Almighty God. Hallelujah. Amen. And we went year after year after year like that. Always preaching the promise, always speaking the promise, and yet just barely getting by, just barely holding on. And one day at the end of a service, a brother in our church got up and came from the back of the church and stood in front of the pulpit and said, "Thus saith the Lord, I have broken the spirit of poverty off of your life and ministry." Now, this is why Brother Branham said that the gift of prophecy or the gift of tongues and interpretation ought to be in every local assembly. Amen. Hallelujah. I didn't say that. He did. Amen. I talk about speaking in tongues and stuff, and boy, I'll tell you, people get quiet. I talk about being edified in the spirit and speaking mysteries and all this, and people get so quiet. And yet we call ourselves restored back to the original Pentecost, not 1906. And that original messenger said, "I speak in tongues more than all of you." Amen. Right. Amen. Right. Hallelujah. Well, let's not get off on that. Get the pastor all upset back there. Amen. Praise God. Prophecy came forth. Now, I expected thousands and thousands of dollars in the mail the next day. You see, because after all, the spirit of poverty was broken. Yeah, I expected things to begin to come to me now, you know, but it didn't work that way. We didn't receive the financial miracle overnight. Amen. Now, you know why we didn't? Because if we had, we'd have been right back in the same mess within 2 years. Now, I know the pastors can say amen to this because they deal with people in their own church that try every gimmick that there is to survive financially and everything or to get out of debt and everything. But because they haven't considered their ways and changed their ways, they turn right around a year or two later, they're right back in it again. And so if we had just received the miracle like that, we'd have been right back in it within a 2 year period. And so it took 7 years from the day of the prophecy. It took 7 years. Amen. And during that 7 years, God provided more and more money, provided more and more finance. Amen. But he also taught me to consider my ways. And he not only taught me to consider my ways, but he taught me to change my ways. If we leave here today and we're just considering, that's only half of it. Amen. He wants us to change our ways also. And at the end of those 7 years, I was completely debt free. Amen. And because I considered my ways and because I changed my ways, many, many years later, I am still debt free and still just totally worshiping and praising God and glorying in the miracle that God gave us. Amen. In fact, I've got a new motto that I've adopted over the last few months, and it says simply this: my needs are met and I'm out of debt. Hallelujah. And now there's more to put in store. Praise God. And you know why there's more to put in store? Because I don't owe Sears Roebuck an extra 21%. I don't owe Visa 15.9. Amen. I live anywhere from 15 to 25% higher on the economic scale than I used to. Simply because I don't owe consumer debt anymore. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I love that. I love walking down the street saying, my needs are met and I'm out of debt. Hallelujah. Amen. My needs are met and I'm out of debt. I get a kick out of that. Amen. Praise God. And all of that because he taught me to consider my ways and to change my ways and to bring my financial house under the umbrella of the authority of his word. Amen. And his word works. Praise God. All right. I think I'm supposed to be down at 11:30, aren't I? Close to it. Okay. How else can we consider our ways? Are you truly honoring God with your substance? Are you truly honoring God with your substance? Proverbs 3, 9 and 10. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. I have heard the first half of that quoted over and over and over again, but not hardly anybody reads the last half of it. For some reason, we're afraid of that. Amen. And it's almost like charting new waters to even say it amongst message believers. Amen. But I'll tell you something, brothers and sisters, we're talking here about more than just barely enough. God is a God of enough, to be sure, but he's a God of more than enough. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so, amen, it says, thy barns shall be filled, thy presses shall burst out. We're talking about more than just barely getting by. Another translation says it this way: honor God with everything you own. Give him the first and the best. Your barns will burst. Now, we're talking here about substance to substance. We're not talking here just about substance to spiritual blessing. Amen. Substance to substance. Honor me with your substance, I'll fill your barns up. Honor me with your substance, I'll fill your wine vats up. Is that right? Hallelujah. All right. Malachi 3:10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat, we would say resources today, in my house. Prove me now herewith. Put me to the test. How many times do you hear God saying that? Very rare for God to say that in the scripture. But in this area of our life, this financial arena, he said, test me, prove me, prove me, put me to the test. Saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough for you to receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lambs of Translation says you will shout, it's enough, it's enough. Any of you ever been there? I've been there in the spirit. I had a 3-hour visitation from God years ago in Anchorage, Alaska, that brought me into this message. And at the end of 3 hours, I said, God, it's enough. It's enough. If you don't lift your presence from me, I will surely die. I cannot take another 5 minutes of this. I said, God, I have prayed 10 years for something like this to happen in my life, and now I can't stand anymore. It's enough. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, I lived off that blessing for a long time. I'm still living off of it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Lambza said, it's enough. It's enough. Amen. Now, we tithed, gave to God. God broke the spirit of poverty, gave us some breathing space. Isn't it wonderful to have a little breathing space? I was with some people the other day, and I wanted to do something for one of their kids and everything, and the papa was a little reluctant, you know, and I said, oh, let me do this. I said, it's such a blessing not to owe anybody anything and not to know that your whole budget's going to crumble when you get home if you spend a few dollars. Amen. And it was nice to have that little breathing room and everything, but after 35 years of believing that this word was true and believing what God said and believing all the time that I was under an open window, amen, all of a sudden God opened the windows of heaven. Praise God. And I'll tell you something. First thing he did was he poured a brand new church building out. Amen. $207,000 debt-free, paid for. Praise God. He poured out a brand new car, turned that into a brand new minivan in a couple of years and everything. He poured out a brand new house. He poured out a house full of brand new furniture. Amen. That doesn't sound like it excites you, but it excited me. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And you know something? He hasn't quit pouring it out yet. I got a letter in the mail the other day, an offering, and there was a little scribbling on it and little writing, and it said, I hope you've got your flood insurance up to date. Amen, because he said the rain is coming. Hallelujah. Well, I took the check and put it in my pocket and didn't show it to Rachel. I just handed her the note. And she looked at me and said, honey, have you let our insurance lapse on the house? Is there something about our insurance that I don't know? Where did this come from and everything? And I said, no, that has nothing to do with our flood insurance or our rain insurance or anything else. I said, the man was just saying that God has blessed him so abundantly, amen, and everything. And he was sharing that with us and letting us know that we better get things in order because there's probably going to be some more to follow that. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, brothers and sisters, that didn't happen overnight. It took 35 years. Hallelujah. And I think you that know me know that if it had never happened, it wouldn't have made any difference at all. Amen. We would have still applied these principles. We would have still been content with those things that God had given us. Hallelujah. We would have continued to drive our cars until they had 200,000 miles on them and the upholstery was falling down over your head. We had that last one that you got into it, and if there was much moisture in the air, it just all draped, and from behind it looked like everybody had Mexican sombreros on. We better not get off into stewardship here. Praise God. So, consider your way. Now, we're going to finish up with a principle here, one of two, that's going to be a new concept for some of you. It's going to be totally foreign to some of you in this congregation. As you consider your ways, consider this. After you tithe, after you give, after you have planted your financial seed in your storehouse, what are you saying after you give? I dare say that a lot of you have never given it a thought. Just like a lot of you probably just taken right a tithe check out. Amen. I never do that, or I don't try not to ever do that. I take that check and I write it out, and then I go to prayer and I present that to God. It's an act of worship with me. Amen. Hallelujah. And I make sure. And my tithe goes into my storehouse and everything. But if I'm planting seed somewhere else around the country, I make sure that that's good ground that I'm planting in. Hallelujah. And that it's bearing fruit. And that there's a good chance then that I'm going to reap a harvest. Amen. Some of you are content if you just barely make it. But you know, God said there's a harvest out there. There's a principle of 30, 60, 100. Praise God. Hallelujah. And so once you plant your seed, what are you saying? Once you plant your seed, you should be continually speaking the blessing and the word of God over your seed. Now, if you want that principle, you can find it in Deuteronomy chapter 26. I want you to go home and read 15 of the verses in this chapter, because you'll find it all the way down through there. And they said, and they said, and they said. But we'll just read three verses here to get us the principle. And it shall be, when thou art come in unto the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. I believe we're in our land, don't you? Hallelujah. And possess it and dwell therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and thou shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And thou shalt go in unto the priest that shall be in those days, and shall say unto him, I profess this day unto the Lord thy God that I am come unto the country which the Lord sware unto our fathers for to give us. And he goes on down and continues to say, and they shall say, 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 bring your tithe in a basket unto the priest of that day and say. Who is the priest of this day? The Lord Jesus. He is the high priest of our confession. Yes. Hallelujah. And so we are to bring it and say something. Hallelujah. They had to take the tithing into the priest. Amen. And say it. They had to speak it. They had to say it. Giving and saying go together just as much as faith and saying go together. None of you could even be saved without saying it. Amen. You had to confess it. You had to believe it and then say it. Well, same principle here with your giving. You bring it, amen, and then you say it. You say to the priest of that day, of this day, amen. Saying and giving go as much together as faith and saying go together, amen. So I'm saying to you that you can't sow your substance, you can't sow your money, amen, and then talk lack. You can't sow your money and talk need. You can't sow your money, brothers and sisters, and talk everything negative and expect to reap much. You will not do it, amen. But if you bring it, amen, to the storehouse and you give it to God and you say to the priest of this day, hallelujah, what the word of God says about that giving, praise God, he will give you your harvest and your increase. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Now, some of you don't have any trouble tithing, but I want to ask you a question. How's your mouth? Some of you don't have any trouble giving to missions and everything, offerings, helping build the church. How's your mouth? Some of you don't even have any trouble giving to the poor and the needy. But I'm asking you again, how's your mouth? Amen. And not only how is your mouth towards the promises of blessing and harvest, but how's your mouth towards your spouse? How's your mouth towards your children? Some of you motor up to the church and you run in there and praise God, you write this tithe check out and it goes in the can as it comes by. And some of you even pray about it and use it as an act of worship and everything. And then you get out there in a car and you and your spouse, God have mercy. Amen. Something didn't set just right. She looked at you with a look, you know, and you thought you knew that look, and most of us husbands know the look, amen, but still. Or vice versa, amen. You get in a car with that guy, and he's unbearable. Something set him off, you know, and you argue and you fight all the way home, and there's strife amongst you. And did you know that strife stops manifestation? Amen. Amen. A lot of you are believers, but you got so much strife in your family situation that you're not reaping the blessings of what you believe. Amen. And so, how's your mouth? Amen. Some people come to church. They give their tithe, they give their offering, they give to the missions and everything, and then they go out to lunch afterwards. Almost every church does this, you know. Little groups pair off and they go to this restaurant and that restaurant or over to so-and-so's house and everything. And they no more than get set down around the lunch table than they start talking need.
Yeah.
And they start talking lack.
Yeah.
And they start talking poverty. Amen. All of these things. And you know, they don't stop at lunch. They keep it up all week long. They talk it at work, and they talk it at home, and they talk it while they're driving, and they talk it almost in their sleep. Amen. And then they wonder why they are reaping little. Amen. Now, if you still don't see the correlation here, and I believe you do, but Malachi 3:10 that we just read, he talks to them about their money. Is that right? But in Malachi 3:13 and 14, he talks to them about their mouth. Amen. Verse 13 and 14, your words. Now, at first he said, you robbed me. Where'd you rob me? Tithes and offerings. Now he said, your words. He said, your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee? Ye have said, it is vain to serve the Lord. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinances? I've had people stand right in front of me and say, if we hadn't paid these tithes all year long, we'd have a brand new car now. Those are stout words against God. Amen. And then wonder why they never prosper. Wonder why God never does anything for them in this realm. Amen. Hallelujah. And so, brothers and sisters, you know, we do the same thing. We go out, we get around people, and we say, well, you know, that's okay for him, but those things don't work for me. Well, bless God, they won't work for you then. You've already got what you said. Amen. Amen. They won't work for you. Amen. You know, those things don't work for me. I've tithed and tithed and tithed for years, and I'm not living under any open windows. I think probably we're living under more of an open window than we think we are. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. If we had what we deserve, we'd all go to hell. Is that true? Amen. And God has been so gracious to us. And you know, I still, almost every day in my prayers, and this is going to sound childish and silly, but I thank God still when I get to the point of the prayer that Jesus taught the disciples about the daily bread. When I thank God that I have groceries in the house and food in the freezer and everything, I go back and I say, God, I want to thank you for every bite of food I've ever eaten. And I thank you for every drink of water. And Father, I want to give you special thanks for that old World War II aviator hat that you gave me back in 1946 or 47. And it enabled me to walk those 8 or 9, 10 blocks. I didn't walk 10 miles to school like most dads and granddads. I only walked about 10 blocks, but I'll tell you, when it's a driving rainstorm or it's snowing or there's hail in the air and everything, do you know how warm and comfortable I felt in that aviator hat with those flaps that came down over my ears, buckled under my chin? And I said, and God, I want to thank you for that big old overcoat that my mom and dad bought. I said, I know now it was you that provided it. And I said, I remember walking to school in the cold and everything, and I was just so warm and nice. And I don't forget any of it, amen. And I go back and just talk to God about that and just tell him, well, how blessed. And if that's all I ever got, and If I still had to buy my clothes from the Goodwill and the Salvation Army, and if I still had to furnish our house that way and everything, I would love God just as much as I've ever loved God. You see, I loved God so much in that $1.98 overcoat from the Goodwill. I loved him, amen, when it was nothing but a 1941 Studebaker that came off of a farm and grass mold was growing in the back seat, amen. Praise the Lord. My love for God's not measured with my bank account, anything like that. Hallelujah. But you see, God knows that. And he also knows that he set laws into order. Praise God. And that if you will obey those laws, he will bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah. So my words, I watch them and I make sure that they're not stout against God. You need to do that. Amen. You need to understand that maybe you have tithed for years and maybe you're still struggling and everything. But if you'll consider your ways, amen, your due season will come. Praise God. Hallelujah. You'll get that raise. You'll get that better job. Praise God. Or God will show you how to stop up the holes with what you got and make you live a little better. Amen. Without even changing your income. Praise God. Hallelujah. So don't plant your seed. Don't plant your offering. Hallelujah. Then go talking your problem. Don't plant your seed and go watering it down with your negative talk. Amen. Plant your offering and talk the solution. Plant your offering and talk the blessing. When we didn't even have food for the table or gas for the car, our parents even didn't know a thing about it. The deacons in our church didn't know a thing about it. Hallelujah. We took that need to God, and God always came on the scene and met that need. Hallelujah. Okay. 5 minutes. I can't finish in 5 minutes, but I do want to finish this if I can. Amen. Another thing you can do when you consider your ways is you can learn to speak to your mountain of debt. Now, that's not going to get too many amens because, again, we're in area here, and I haven't preached a lot of these things for 30 years. But I was sitting right over there on the side of the auditorium last year listening to Brother Charlie and listening to Brother Donnie, and the Holy Spirit lit a candle inside of me, amen, and told me to go home and start putting some of these messages back together like I preached many, many years ago on faith and deliverance and things like that and some of these things. And so we're doing that. Hallelujah. And I'm amazed at how many messages I had clear back in the archives, amen, concerning how we talk and our confession and these things. Amen. Learn to speak to your mountain of debt. Amen. Now, learn practical ways to reduce your debt. And we're going to talk about that tomorrow. Going to be very mundane stuff tomorrow in that area, but we're going to deal with how to get your debt down. But while you're doing that, amen, learn to speak to that debt. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Now, don't just assume that your debt's going to go away. Amen. And don't just assume that everything's just going to automatically work itself out. And one thing you can be sure of, amen, your debt is going to speak to you. So you might as well learn how to talk to it, because it already knows how to talk to you. Debt talks. Need talks. Lack talks. Amen. Amen. Poverty talks. I haven't got time to go into each one of those now. Amen. But just rest assured that it does. Now, Mark 11:23 says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." Amen. Debt is a mountain. Amen. Lack is a mountain. Need is a mountain. Poverty is a mountain. Praise God. And I want you to see that you can speak to it. I want to show you something in Mark 11:13 and 14. I want you to notice Jesus and the fig tree, I want to show you that the fig tree initiated the conversation. Jesus did not speak to the fig tree. Jesus answered the fig tree. And seeing a fig tree afar off, having leaves, he came, if haply he might find any figs thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. What did the fig tree say? I don't know. I really don't. I'm not a prophet. I can't tell you exactly what the fig tree said. I just think that he said something like this. No use looking at me, Jesus, because I'm not going to give you anything to eat today. Amen. The fig tree spoke. Amen. So plant your seed. Give your offerings. Amen. And don't listen to doubt. And don't listen to fear. Don't listen to any of that. And don't listen to your debt. And don't listen to your need. And don't listen to your lack. Amen. Praise God. Speak to it. Hallelujah. What do I speak to it? You speak the word of God to it. Hallelujah. You speak the blessing. You speak the laws of God. You speak all of these things over it. The law of prosperity, the law of supply, the law of abundance. Hallelujah. Amen. And then get ready for your harvest. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. All right. The last one. Consider your ways. Consistency. Amen. You can't tithe now and then and harvest much. We used to have a hamburger chain up in Oregon called Hot and Now. I called it Now and Then. Now and then you get service. Now and then you get meat in your bun. I'm not kidding you. Amen. Now and then. They didn't last very long. Amen. You can't tithe now and then and harvest much. You can't give now and then and harvest much. And you can't say the right things now and then and harvest much. God honors consistency. Amen. Hallelujah. In Acts 10, you can read it later. Cornelius, amen, was a man who gave and prayed always. He gave and prayed always. Hallelujah. And it came up before God as a memorial. Amen. Oh, praise God. God knows who you are, where you live, every hair on your head. Praise God. And it all comes up before God. God honored him and God sent Peter to his house. And what did God send Peter to his house with? He sent him there with words. Amen. Words from God. Hallelujah. That did what? Brought the Holy Ghost baptism. Brought water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was just reading in one of the messages last night, Brother Branham's on faithful Abraham. Amen. He said, and we still walk in the blessing of that visitation to this very day. Hallelujah. Why? Because a man was consistent. Hallelujah. He gave always and he prayed always. And it came up before God as a memorial. Consider your ways. Be consistent. Amen. When you keep on tithing, it comes up before God as a memorial. When you keep on giving, it comes up before God as a memorial. Amen. When you keep on praying, it comes up before God as a memorial. Hallelujah. When you keep on confessing, it comes up before God as a memorial. Hallelujah. I can't hardly keep from preaching today. Amen. I envy the man that got this pulpit tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. When you do it as a lifestyle, when it's consistent, amen, It comes up before God as a memorial, and it brings the results. You will no longer sow much and bring in little. Amen. You will no longer labor for your wages and have it be like you're putting it into a bag with holes in it. If you consider these things that we've taught you today and make them a consistent part of your life, hallelujah, you will receive the harvest that God intends for you to receive. God will bless you abundantly. Praise God. And I'll tell you something, we've got a lot of work yet to do in the days and the hours that lay ahead of us in the family of God here, in the body of Christ. We've got a lot of territory to cover overseas. We've got a lot of messages yet to print. Amen. We've got a lot of seed libraries to establish. We've got a lot of men of God overseas that we need to take care of them and take care of their wage and their family and all these things. Amen. It's not over yet. Hallelujah. Praise God. God will bless us. God will anoint that we're doing. Praise God. And you will no longer sow much and reap little, but you will sow much and reap the harvest that God intended for you. Hallelujah. Brother Jeff, amen. Hallelujah.